Well, you had a lot to get to last night from the city council meeting number one for September. Of course, moving it from Monday to Labor Day to Tuesday and everything. So that was no big deal. Let's get right to it. We'll start first. Announcements, recognitions, anything there?
I just let the council know and the people in attendance that we are going to have a planning commission meeting this upcoming week. For sure, we're going to have one item, maybe two. We're looking at blighting an area that would be off of West 7th Street, north of West R Street, then also an area that would be west of East 11th Street over by Kinship Point. And so that'll be the topic for discussion that day.
We move into public hearings considering the 2020 McCook Plan of Street Improvements.
Yeah, we talked with W Design and Greg Wolford about some of the things that are on the docket as far as streets. We had North Cherokee this year. Remind me of the I don't have my paper.
An asphalt project over on East First. We're doing pretty good. We got our Highway 6 and 34 project paid off, and it was a little bit less than what we thought it was going to be. And so Greg and Kyle, when they were going through budgeting for the 1 and 6 year plan, they actually bumped up East 1st Street. So it's East 1st Street and then North Cherokee. And then also we have the Highway 83 project.
Yeah. So that's going to be paid for with FEMA funds, correct?
Yeah. So we've got some FEMA funds, or it'd be ARPA funds.
ARPA, yeah.
We've talked about them so many times over the course of the past 2 or 3 months, but the ARPA funds, they can go towards storm drainage projects. That's one of the qualifying expenses. And we've got some runoff issues off of the NPPD substation over on the north side of town, and so we want to make sure we take care of that before it becomes a problem. So
that was adopted and approved last night?
Yep, it was approved, and talked about maybe how quickly we might be able to move forward with some things, and Greg was saying, you know, we should be able to go ahead and start moving fairly quickly on the North Cherokee project. And if we can get the North Cherokee project and the East First project done at the same time, we might get more people bidding, and it might save us some money.
Mm-hmm. So when will begin? What time? 2022 spring?
I would anticipate the bidding will begin here shortly, and I don't know exactly what they're going to shoot for as far as the beginning date, but I would say for sure during this fiscal year.
Just when it gets warm after winter, right?
Yeah.
Sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah, a long list of items on the consent agenda last night. Anything?
And there were some important ones too, but just we had so much stuff on the agenda that nothing really got pulled. I know we've got Heritage Days coming up here in a few weeks, and so we had all the requests from the chamber for Heritage Days. All the street closures, and also the request to go ahead and conduct the parade. So I think that part is taken care of, and they should be ready to rock. Also, we did our MOU with the chamber. We extended that out another year. Yep. We're going to use ACE funds again this year to go ahead and help with the chamber's promotional efforts, which in turn benefits the city because those are sales tax dollars that comes back for operations purposes and projects.
Yeah, that's usually Christmas. They do a Christmas promotion. They do, what else?
They've got Crazy Days.
Crazy Days is the one I was looking for. Crazy Days, Heritage Days. Those bring in the money, so it should basically be a wash.
Heritage Days is a couple of weeks away.
Yeah. It's hard to believe.
Yeah.
And I know that this year, hopefully, it'll be a little bit more packed, better attended. I think last year with COVID and everything, it still kind of kept some people away. So hopefully this year we kind of get back to normal.
Seems like there's a lot of events and a lot of things happening with Heritage Days this year. So come on out, everyone, and have a great time. Also, I wanted to give a shout out to the Discovery Center, the Children's Museum. They're on here with the Cardboard Challenge. I know as a Rotarian, we've helped do some things with that. And I didn't get to participate. I wanted to as an adult, but I didn't have a kid. Now I have a kid that I could actually go and not feel weird, you know. But they do a great job with that, and it's a really great creative time for kids to come out and So make sure you sign up for that.
You're going to be first one in the door, aren't you?
Oh, for sure.
There you go. Sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, we've talked about this last couple of years and bringing people in to talk about it. Sounds like a ton of fun.
Yeah, it is. I think it's you get messy and you don't have to clean up your own living room, you know. It's just it's in the auditorium, so it's a great space to just get stretch out and be creative.
Now, Jared will get there. He'll start tidying up, cleaning up afterwards. Like, wait a minute, I don't have to do that this time.
That's right.
Not like at home.
It'll probably have to be, I don't know if it's Kathy McDowell and Mary Doolin that do all the cleaning up after. I'm not sure how that works. Mary was there last night, but we didn't pull it, so I didn't ask her that. It's a good question.
Yeah.
All right, we can move on to the regular agenda and third and final reading on the engine braking.
That's been going on forever.
Engine braking, like, yeah. Yes. Third and five. This is it. It's done.
That's it. Yeah.
It's done. Yep, it's passed. So
nobody ever is going to bring this up again, right?
I hope not.
Yeah. That was a subject that probably, I mean, 3-4 years we've been talking about this, I think, Rich. So, but it did pass, you know, just so, I know I've told you already, but so everybody knows that the ordinance, it does have some exceptions. If there is an emergency type situation where you have to use them, or if you have a muffler system, you know, then you're allowed to use them. And so it's definitely not going to be nearly as restrictive as what some people thought, I think, right off the bat.
Also, third and final reading, of course, with the budget. It's ready and raring to go. It's done.
Oh man, I tell you what. Yeah, we've I don't know.
When do we start this? This is back.
We actually start in June. So June we started working on this.
But before that, we had a community forum basically.
So in February we talked about, so everything kind of got moved back because of COVID, but we made a concerted effort to have a lot of community discussions this year.
Yeah.
So we had the meeting over at the auditorium, and then we had a city just a tour that we took in March.
It's like sleeting during that time.
It was so cold that day, but we had some people in attendance and appreciated that. And then we talked about things, I think, on a couple of different occasions. Some of the things we've talked about was a COPS grant that kind of led into the discussions for the budget. You know, just in general, we've had a lot of discussions regarding a lot of the things that we touched on. You know, I think in the end, you know, we had a very successful budget season with the, Jared had talked about the ARPA and the FEMA money. You know, that's really exciting to have those funds, but it makes you realize all the different projects that you have and all the things that you need.
Prioritizing all that and what takes precedence over something else it's hard as a council. And I know it's hard for staff to you know, kind of evaluate all those different things that we have. Because we have a lot that's deteriorating in this community, but we have to keep it going or else it is just going to fall the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the staff has done a great job this year. All the community talks and all this has culminated into, you know, a budget that I think last night all council members felt very comfortable with and very good about. And, yeah, it's tough to raise the levy 1 cent, but it's also needed going forward, and everyone, you know, has had different ideas of what your taxes are, but it's going back into investing in our community and having those things going forward. Everyone wants to live in a beautiful, you know, community and have these different amenities and things like that, but you got to pay for them. That's the hard part. And so, you know, I think going from 3 cents that we had initially came to then going back to 1 cent with Gene's suggestion, I think made everybody a lot more comfortable. And you know, and Nate can talk a lot about the different things that went into this. We had, you know, from COPS grant to, you know, even a lot of the sewage treatment plant. We had a lot of things that were on that, but then ARPA came along and we were able to do some stuff with that. So a lot of these COVID dollars and things like that has helped, but it's those are things that we only get this year, you know? Mm-hmm. And so going forward, we need to make sure that we have this money available to help out with staff. I mean, you go down, just like the tours, you go down to, we took a tour and you go down to the Department of Streets and you see what they're working with, and it's just like, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, we were in Lincoln for the municipality conference, League of Municipalities, and it snowed, and there was 10 inches of snow. And I started to look, and I'm like, McCook does a really great job of snow removal and doing it with, you know, machinery that's really outdated. I know I've talked to Kyle, and on their loader that they were using, the door would fly open. So you have to hold the door. You know, it's really a safety hazard. And so a lot of the stuff that has just, you know, last year with COVID, we didn't approve. We approved above budget that was basically cutting anything new. I mean, we didn't have any.
We weren't sure what was going to happen.
And so this year's been a really big, you know, we've got some money from COVID, but we also have to start to put money that we didn't use last year because of all the uncertainties. So, I mean, it's kind of it's a weird year this year, and we talked a lot about that, but we got to start doing some things or else it's going to go, we're going to start to deteriorate and. Yeah. It's going to be hard. We talked about the Section 139 with the airport. If you lose that accreditation, it's hard to get it back. Well, that's similar with if we were to cut jobs and we were to cut costs on everything. Once you lose those services, it's hard to get those back. Mm-hmm. So you got to keep it going.
Right, right. Exactly so, right. You always want the best, like machinery. We're talking about machinery.
Yeah.
But and you
got
to.
I mean, we got used bucket truck on here because right. a brand new one is. So it's not like we're getting the best of the best on everything. Mm-hmm. We're staying within a budget and trying to keep those things as minimal as possible, so we don't have to keep shooting the levy up 3 cents or whatever. So mm-hmm. if we can keep it small, you know, increments, I think that's best for everyone. And we talk about that with water, and you don't want to have that huge just all of a sudden. Then everything goes crazy, and then
yeah,
then it is our fault, you know.
And that's been an experience we've had before. Yeah, we had probably about $2 million between FEMA and ARPA funds that we received this year. We had $1.3 million of ARPA funds, and we had just under $700,000 of FEMA funds that we got. And like I said, we were looking at all the different capital projects and capital outlay that was out there, and we're just trying to figure out what was our priority and what wasn't. And we wanted to try to touch on each of the departments and make sure that each department was getting something. I guess the lone exception was probably the library. The library did just complete their HVAC project here this mm-hmm. past year, and that was a fairly large ticket item. And so mm-hmm. we talked to Jody, and Jody said there's probably nothing as far as capital they needed this year. So we looked at the other departments. On the ARPA side, so the big thing this year was the radio console. Yeah. And originally, I remember talking to Chief Brown about this years ago, and at that time, I think that he was guessing like $350,000.
Yeah, that's what I have here.
And then I say when we started talking about this, I think we were right around $450,000 when we were starting to get a couple of estimates in. But that just turned out to be for the radio console itself. That wasn't for the handheld units. And then with the handheld units, you were talking about $7,000 per unit, just a little bit under. And you start talking about all the police officers that we have and all the fire department members that we have. You know, before you knew it, we were up to $740,000. You know, so you have $300,000, $400,000 more that you weren't planning on spending and trying to figure out how to budget for that, because that's a requirement. We have to be able to dispatch, you know, not only for our people, but for the sake of the members of our community. We need to make sure that we can get to them when they're in their times of need or if there are issues that are going on. And so we run the dispatch. Some places have their counties run the dispatch. We run the dispatch, and we funded this ourselves. You know, we didn't ask for any assistance from any other entity. We just funded this purchase ourselves.
And so, we dispatch for Red Willow County and some other surrounding areas too. So it's a lot on us, you know, mm-hmm. and it's a very big expense. $740,000. That's
that was more than what we were thinking originally. So, and then also on the ARPA side, we are going to get the van press for the wastewater treatment plant to try to help remove and reduce the amount of particulates that we have down there. We used to actually go ahead and just spread that, but it's getting harder and harder to find people to spread it. And so when that digester fills up, there's nowhere for that to go. So we need to go ahead and press this. And that's a $500,000 piece of machinery. And we've got that listed in the ARPA funds. The drainage project over on North Highway 83 that we talked about, that's a $300,000 project. And then also we have internet to the water treatment plant. So that ate up basically everything out of the ARPA funds. And then on the FEMA side, we had $680,000. We had to make a transfer to self-insurance. McCook is self-insured. We did not have a great year on the insurance side. We were doing really good until June. And then we had a couple of big claims in June. And so it created the need for us to go ahead and transfer some funds to make sure that we are funding our self-insurance portion correctly. So we took $200,000 to fund the self-insurance. And then we took another $150,000 and put it towards the radio console. And then we finalized our financing package by utilizing E911 funds in the amount of $100,000 and $50,000 in our equipment reserve. We've been putting some money away to put towards a radio. And then also we have a police unit that's going to come out of the FEMA dollars. We haven't bought police units, like Jared was saying. Last year was so bare bones. We've gone 2 years without buying any police vehicles.
And Joel last night talked about one of his he basically had to use his own car because he wasn't on duty, but he was going to do police work, and so he had to use his own car. And that usually doesn't happen. And so that's just the kind of where we're at with our police car situation and our police. There's a lot of money going towards the police side here, and that's, you know, it's unfortunate that we've gotten so far behind, but we need to start doing that.
And then we also have the bucket truck that we had discussed, and it was a used bucket truck. We're guesstimating about $125,000. And the last part for the FEMA was extrication equipment for the fire department. We talked about an ARF truck at one point in time, but just money-wise, it's not in the cards for this year. This kind of lines up with our bidding process that we'll be going through with the Federal Aviation Administration. We'll see where we're at on that, and it'll give us a better idea maybe of where we need to go in the future with our ARF truck.
Yeah.
So other items that we, you know, on the police department side, body cameras, you know, we all know what's going out, you know, going on in the world outside of McCook. And there is definitely a need to make sure that all of our officers have body cameras. Mm-hmm. Right now, what they were doing was they were sharing. And then the hard part was that stuff would get downloaded, but you aren't allowed to actually access somebody else's downloaded file. So then there became kind of a struggle to figure out how we're going to make sure that we maintain the confidentiality from person to person while making sure that everybody had access to that camera. So we're going to have 13 body cameras that are going to be coming out of the ACE fund. So we're going to utilize our ACE funds to go ahead and purchase those. And then we've got a mock mapping system. That's for the security of our police officers so we know where they're at. That's only $1,000. We have potentially four police units. It may be three, depending on where we're at. We're looking at about $47,896 in our estimates. That's what Chief Smith has estimated. And it's a combination of sources. We're looking at general fund as well as the electric utility fund. And then, like I said, the COVID fund. We are going to update the Durango, so that's police equipped, and then also the radio console, which really was the priority budget item this year, making sure that we have a way to fund that. So
the radio went a couple months ago.
Yeah, in May when we had that tornado, and it was a snafu. We had water that got into the electrical unit. But it made you realize what could go wrong if you don't have radio capability. And everything's changed. I mean, everything's digital now. And so we need to make sure that we're upgrading to make sure that we're keeping up with the state systems and those kinds of things. And so that's the reason why it's so expensive, is you're going from analog to digital, and that's not a cheap switch. So fire side, we have some obligations we're going to continue to pay off on. Chief Harpum had mentioned that we received the fire safety grant, and so we'll get a trailer. We're still trying to figure out our match. Our match is 5%. It's a little bit more than what we thought, so we might reach out to some other communities to see if they can't help out and assist with some of the cost. And then also we've got the extrication equipment. And like I said, we don't have the ARF truck in there this year just because it's such a big ticket item. And we figured a way maybe to get a little bit cheaper. $325,000 was the cheapest truck that we were able to find, but that was still probably more than what we felt we were comfortable with in this year's budget. Doesn't mean next year or the year after. And when we start getting some airport improvement plan money back in, because that's been kind of utilized with past projects and our current airport layout plan that we're working on, once we start building that money up, you know, we'll have our 10% match. So we should be in pretty good shape. Ambulance payment, we're going to continue to make that. Street, we got to continue to make our street, our sweeper payments and our loader lease payments. And then we do have some highway allocation dollars that came in higher than what we thought. So we're going to take $90,000 of those highway allocation funds and put it towards a tractor. And then the other $100,000 we're going to put towards street projects. That's one of the things I think the council and staff, we've heard loud and clear. You know, people want us to go ahead and concentrate on streets. We really want to move forward with both the East First Street and the North Cherokee project. And so that is going to be a priority for this year. Other areas, cemetery, we're going to go ahead and move forward with the columbarium addition. That's going to come out of the perpetual care fund. And also, we've got mower rotations in the various departments that we have in public works. We are looking at doing a $4,000 oven through the general fund, but then also the McCook Community Foundation is going to donate $4,000 to put towards an oven as well, too. So we're very appreciative for their assistance. The other thing, and I know we're getting short on time here, Rich, the thing that that really gets difficult, equipment's equipment, you know, and that's right. A one-time payment unless it's financed over a period of time, but it's going to be maybe 3 to 5 years tops for us typically. You know, what we talked about and what we prioritized this year during the initial discussions, and I talked to each department head, and three of the department heads, their biggest priority was personnel. And so we have two police officers that we have included in this year's budget. Hopefully we receive the COPS grant for that. But if we don't, this budget is going to go ahead and anticipate paying for those two officers. Chief Smith was talking about their situation last night. Yep. And he was saying over the weekend they had one officer that was on duty. They were having to pull their detectives into the patrol officer positions so that way they had enough bodies to go ahead and patrol with two people, because you don't want to patrol with one. Mm-hmm. It's a safety concern and an issue, and our ability to respond gets affected by that as well, right. too. So we have two police officers. We have added a public works position, and that's kind of being discussed right now, but we're thinking maybe a laborer one. Kyle Potthoff thinks that it's going to probably be a combination of parks and ballparks where that position will probably be placed. We were talking a lot about public works this past budget season, and Kyle's got great guys that work over in the public works department. Yeah. And a lot of them have a lot of experience, but they're getting to the point where they're talking about retirement. We were talking about the Kenny Vaunces and the Ron Marises and those guys. Rick Province over at the transfer station. Elza Doak over at the cemetery, you know, they can't work forever. And so, you know, we talked about making sure that we had maybe another position in there to help with the transition. When they leave, they're going to take a lot of knowledge and experience with them. And a lot of the reasons why we are able to keep things, you know, relatively low costs is because those guys have so much experience. They're able to go ahead and make sure that when they budget as smart and I would say probably thoroughly as you possibly could expect somebody in those positions to budget. The other thing, and I know that this was a discussion, the administrative staff position, that is a position that we just kind of talked about during the budget season, and it just kind of during the discussion, and it wasn't something that I think there's this idea out here that I was pushing this. I wasn't even the one that actually mentioned it to begin with. I think that probably it came from just discussions that we were having, and I think that the council, they're aware that we have a lot of things going on, and I wear probably about 500 different hats, as does Leanne, as does Kyle, as does Jesse, as does, you know, a number of people. And I know that everybody out there, you know, we all wear a lot of different hats. But one of the things that becomes complicated is when you're trying to make sure that you get everything done. Sometimes it's hard to get everything done as expeditiously as people would like. Or, you know, I was telling Jared, you know, I've got a couple of plats that I need to go back in and get fixed because I was rushing trying to get through those things. And I just didn't probably sit down and think about them long enough to make sure that everything was accurate. So that's just a couple of different examples. Yeah, we do our best, but there are a lot of demands. And so we don't know exactly what this position is going to be quite yet. We've got it budgeted just for clarification purposes. You know, I know that there is some numbers that were getting thrown out, and that probably was just on our part. We probably didn't do a good job of explaining some of these things. On the administrative staff side, the salary that we're looking at is $60,000. I saw $93,000 was a number that I saw people talking about, $60,000. But $93,000 would be the total cost,
yep,
with a benefit package, including insurance and pension. So that is where that $93,000 comes from. But that's not the base salary. The base salary would be $60,000. The police officers, for two police officers, you're talking $88,450. The pension for two police officers would be $16,474. Yep. And then the insurance is $33,000. And then on public works, that position is $31,000. Pension is $4,600. And then the insurance is $24,000. So total, the new positions will cost around $158,000. Those positions, I know nobody, you know, like Jared was saying, nobody likes to see taxes go up. This year was kind of a funny year because, you know, you have this money, but it's devoted towards specific items. It's a one-time payment, and then you still have to go ahead and move forward with the other items like personnel. And personnel, those issues never go away. That's kind of why I think the council decided to move forward with the 1 cent, was to account for what may happen with that personnel.
We also had a wage study this year, and that also increased our mm-hmm. And that's a mandate that we have to have that. I don't know what the whole section.
By the state, yep.
Yeah, he knows all the numbers.
I've unfortunately had to deal with these things numerous times. So.
But you have to do that, or else if you don't comply with basically the like-sized communities, the same pay scale, you actually get hit with a...
You could get dinged if you get challenged.
With a fine. Yeah, and so it's one of those things where no matter if you have the money or not, they're going to say, okay, here, you got to pay this. And so we had to raise some wages this year as well. And so that's stuff that's not going to go down. And so, yeah, it's not good to raise.
There are a lot of pieces. And on the wage study, we've had a hard time getting people to apply. I know that other businesses have too. I talked to Jared and talked to Jerry and talked to other people out in the community. It's hard to get people to apply for jobs. We need to make sure that we're as competitive as we possibly can be. So the wages, actually, it's the minimum and maximums that are getting adjusted up. You know, we didn't have enough money to go ahead and make adjustments step by step by step. But we were able to go ahead and get the minimums raised. So that way, if somebody is coming in and looking at the city of McCook for a job opportunity, they'll say, okay, yeah, it is pretty darn competitive compared to maybe job B or job C. On the far end, on the max end, we have a lot of people that work here and have worked here for a long period of time that have been maxed out or capped on their merit increases. Our handbook accounts for merit increases, cost of living increases, and then the longevity, which is separate from those two. And so we follow along with what the handbook says. That's our rule book, and so we follow along with what the rule book says. And so we try to make sure that we keep those adjustments being made. But once you get capped out, once you're at the very end, you can't adjust any further except for on the cost of living side. And so that's where we sometimes get kind of bogged down with where we're at compared to other communities, because every community is doing these wage studies. They're all doing wage studies to make sure they're not falling behind. And we hadn't done one for 10 years. And so when we came up with these numbers, it was like, yeah, we do need to go ahead and make some adjustments. Otherwise, we probably are falling a little bit behind. So, you know, it was, you know, a couple, you know, insurance costs, both insurances went up. We weren't getting the numbers until a little bit later in the game. That made things hard during the budget season. I appreciated the patience of the council, because it seemed like every time that we'd have a meeting, I'd be like, okay, we kind of have a number, but it's not a firm number. And then we'd come to the next meeting. Well, yeah, that number still isn't really firm. But property and casualty insurance, we're thinking it's going to be around $550,000 this year. There is the potential that we may be going with a different company. Travelers might be the company we go with. They have a high wind and hail deductible, so we may have to buy that down, which could increase our costs a little bit more. And so there's still some speculation going on. Typically, we don't have to have our budget in until September 20th, but because of the way that the meetings fell this year, that September 20th date fell on the second date of September, or second council meeting of September. And so we had to move everything up. So we probably moved everything up further than what we would like, because we're still getting information from companies that are wanting to quote us for insurance purposes. And so a lot of it is guesstimates right now, but I think we're a lot closer than what we were. Then on the health insurance side, like I said, we're up a little bit because we had a bad month or two. I think that'll probably get brought down here this upcoming year. It kind of ebbs and flows. You know, when you look at the trends, it kind of goes up and then it goes down. And so we're due for a good year. Aside from that, I'm trying to think of anything else that we haven't touched on. I know over on the enterprise side, we do have a couple of individuals that we're wanting to add. One of them was in last year's budget, but we just didn't fill that position. That was on the water line side of things. Those guys are out there fixing water lines like crazy, and yep. I think that they're struggling trying to keep up. I know we had a day where we had three water main breaks all at the same time, and those guys were trying to go from one to the other, but you only have Trevor, Tyrell, Seth, Pat, and that's it. And so trying to get from spot to spot is almost impossible. Mm-hmm. The other position that we did account for this year was a new water plant operator. Jesse Dutcher is going to retire this year, yep. And that would leave
really?
Us. Yeah, he's going to retire in May.
And
so
what?
I think he's just going to go ahead and enjoy his time. He's put in his time, so now's his time to get to enjoy it. We're excited for him, but that's going to leave us with one water plant operator. Mm-hmm. Jared's the only one that we've got, and so we need to make sure we've got two. We can't expect Jared to be out there 24/7, 365. That isn't going to happen. Jared's not going to stick around and work for us very long if that's the case. And so we're going to hire somebody else this year to fit into that spot.
You guys don't have anything going on at all. You know, nothing at all.
I do want to say, though, it's been great having these discussions over this course of we really haven't had those in the previous years when I've been on anyway. And probably have happened before, but the first 2 years we didn't go over in this much detail, and it really gives you, we had a lot more discussion on what about this, what about that, you know, and so it really gives you a better perspective on the different things inside there. And so I, you know, if there's anyone, I'm sure there's some few that are not happy with this budget, but if you want to come to the council meetings, come, and we'd love to have discussions with
that. You can call me. I know the council members are willing to talk.
Yeah.
Leanne, we're all available. I am not a big Facebook proponent. Sometimes I think people get onto Facebook and they just vent. And I think that probably lends itself to maybe inaccuracies. Right. You know, if you have questions, give us a phone call. You know, and if I don't call you back right away, I'll get to you as fast as I can. Budget season's been crazy. I haven't had a chance to really do a whole heck of a lot. But I'm always willing to sit down with people. I try to schedule meetings all the time. You know, and I would like to think that we're all, you know, council and staff, we're all approachable. So
for sure.
If there are questions, you know, feel free to ask. But probably trying to speculate as to what's going on Facebook, that's probably
you
not
only
the
get
way to do it.
A part of the story on Facebook. There's a lot of good things about Facebook, but there's some.
I'd like to see how my friends are doing. I really don't want to talk politics or anything on Facebook. To me, that's not my favorite.
Pictures of family and sports and stuff like that. That's what it's all about. Don't bring your garbage on and vent.
And I will say, I think COVID probably, we're all COVID weary. I mean, we've talked about this before, tired, you know, and so I think that that's part of the problem too. People are just kind of tired. Yeah. So it happens. I mean, I get that way too. I know I've been that way here. So it's human nature.
Right. Yeah.
See, I fully, when you talk about personnel and some of the guys who are going to look to retire in the years to come, I really, Ron Maris retires because that Legends Bowlers Tour is out there.
Oh, man, I know.
I keep waiting for the day because I know has his name written all over it.
Man, I tell you what, Ron Maris is just, he is a maestro. When you look at those parks, it's amazing how beautiful. Yeah. You know, Jared, last council meeting last week, he had mentioned how good it looked for the Prairie Roots Festival. Yeah. And it's true. I mean, I wish that my yard looked as nice as Ron keeps those parks. And you're talking about acres of parks, and I'm just talking about, you know, a quarter acre lot for me. And so it just blows my mind what he's able to do and his guys are able to do. Matt Coulter and all those seasonals that are out there working in the parks Tyler Kalinske, I know, is out there working in the parks, and just amazing what those guys do.
You know, Matt has got issues. You know, I don't know why you let him wear his Kansas gear around there, because he's got issues with that.
So. Yeah, you know, as a Husker fan right now, there's just a lot. I don't judge anybody anymore.
I'm kidding, Matt. I'm just teasing. Next council meeting is going to be on?
It's September 20th. Yeah. Planning Commission next week, yeah. And like I said, it's a blight study, so... Hopefully, we'll be moving on some projects. You know, council brought something up just really briefly. There are some real cool things that are going on.
Yeah.
And I expect, you know, you look at what MEDC is doing as far as purchasing property for maybe some housing projects. You know, we've talked about, you know, maybe recreational projects that might be coming down the pike. You know, you start talking about, I look at what has happened over at the industrial park over the last 5 years. We filled that thing. That sat vacant for 15 years. You know, and in 5 years, we filled that up. Now we're looking for more land to go ahead and do more of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are some awesome things that are going on right now, you know, and I hope that everybody can kind of see. It's easy to be negative. Right. Look at the positives. There are a lot of positives going on right now, and I hope that people can see that. Because, you know, really, we've got a great community, you know, and good people. So,
amen to that.